Emerging Women. My name is Emily Bennington, and I am so thrilled to be part of this group of amazing sisters who are in that gorgeous sweet spot of achieving big things in this world, but also raising the consciousness of this world as well. As a businesswoman who is way too woo-woo for corporate, but way too corporate for woo-woo, I can't tell you how wonderful it is to have found this community of like minds. For those of you who aren't familiar with my work, I'll give you two sentences on my background, and then we'll jump into a quick 15-minute lesson on why you're really here, which is to learn more about value-centered living. So I am the author of Who Says It's a Man's World? The Girl's Guide to Corporate Domination, and the founder of Awake Exec Conscious Career Design. My site is emilybennington.com, and my work is about transforming professional women into mindful, heart-centered leaders who can navigate any life challenge with grace. And the idea of navigating life's challenges with grace is the end result we're looking for in the process that I'm going to teach you today. But the first step to getting there usually requires a shift in perspective from being goal-driven to being virtues-driven, or shifting focus from what you do to who you are. And before I jump into the action steps of this power practice, I just want to take a moment to touch on this idea of focusing on who you are, because this message is so upside down and so out of sync with the bulk of the advice we're given about success. I mean, I think we can all agree that the vast majority of the messaging that we receive about what success is, messages that we have deeply internalized because we've been exposed to them for so long, these messages ask us to measure ourselves on the what's of life. What have you achieved? What job do you have? What can you do to get to the next level? And these are all super important questions, and I'm not discrediting them, but I am saying that contrary to popular belief, these questions are not the starting point. What do you do is secondary to the much more important question of who have you become? And the beauty of getting into thinking this way is that ultimately what you want to achieve in your career comes down to who you are anyway. I mean, think about that for a moment. If you're listening to this right now, there's a good chance that you want to become a better leader. But if we just isolate the topic of leadership for a moment, the core fundamental of leadership is being someone other people want to follow, right? But who do we follow? We follow people with character. We follow people with values. We follow people who are in service versus people who are in ego. So I just want to be super clear here that I am not saying that you shouldn't have goals or that goals shouldn't be a driver in your life. But what I am saying is that putting the goals first is backwards. Because when you put the focus on what you want to achieve over who it is that you want to be, what happens is that you're putting your focus on things that change. So what this means is that if you're only happy if you have the job or if you have the money or if you have the man or whatever, these are things that come and go. And one day you might wake up and not have the job, or you might wake up and not have the man, or you might wake up and not have your health. And so as much as we like to think that these things are inside of our control, the reality is that for the most part, they're not. The only thing that's inside of our control is how we respond to these things when they happen to us. And the process that I use for this is called the Virtues, Intentions, and Goals List. So if you go to emilybennington.com/emerging women, all one word, you'll find a couple handouts that will help you walk through this process. The first is a doc called the VIG Pyramid, which is a reference graphic that'll give you the 10,000-foot overview of what I'm talking about. And the second doc is a template for you to begin writing some of your own virtues and intentions, which I'll tell you how to use in just a moment. So as we jump into virtues here, I just want to say for the record that I tend to use virtues, values, principles. I tend to use these words interchangeably. Some people don't, but I do for now. So I just want to point that out so I don't confuse anyone as I go through this section. So if you take a look at the Virtues, Intentions, and Goals pyramid, or if you just want to picture a pyramid in your mind, you'll see virtues at the bottom, intentions in the middle, and goals at the top. Now, virtues are listed as your evergreen self, Intentions are listed as your present self, and goals are listed as your future self. And what I mean by evergreen here is that your virtues are the things about you that are unchanging, even as the other things that we talked about, things like promotions and jobs and whatever, come and go. So intentions are the actions you take in the moment every single day to underscore your virtues, and goals are what you hope to achieve down the road. That's why they're called your future self. And the way I like to look at this pyramid is that virtues and intentions are the process and the who, while goals are the outcome and the what. So let me say that again. Your virtues and intentions are the process and the who, while goals are the outcome and the what. And so the reason why the things we've been taught about success are so backwards is that they ask us to focus on the what. But the what is an outcome. It is the result of the process. The things that we want, the raise, the respect, the promotion, the followers, these are all byproducts. Again, they are the result of the process. They are external by nature. And so because they are external, they are completely outside of our control. And so what this means is the way to keep ourselves at peace is to turn our attention away from what is external, away from the things that we can't control, and put it on what we can control, which is who we are and how we show up every day. And that's where our virtues and our intentions come into the picture. So this is obviously a process that usually takes a lot longer than 15 minutes to teach, but a very quick way to get started is to make some quiet time and free write on the question, what would I do if I only had 5 years left to live? And I like this question in particular because 5 years is short enough to get to the heart of what matters most, but it's also long enough to really give some thought to your legacy. I mean, if we only had 1 or 2 years, of course we'd all spend our time with our kids or with our families, but 5 years forces us to think deeper and a little broader about what it is that we want people to say about who we were and what we did to make an impact. So again, this is a free writing process and there's no wrong way to do it as long as you keep in mind that we're not aiming for perfection here. We are aiming for clarity. That's the most important thing because what you want in your life will only show up to the extent that you're clear about what you want. So go ahead and pause this recording and take 10 or 15 minutes to free write an answer to the question, what would I do if I only had 5 years left to live? Now, once you have your free writing exercise complete, the next step is to read back over what you wrote and look for any words that stand out as who you are or who you would be at your highest self. So just to give you an example, in my free write, some of the words that struck me were spiritual growth, family, love, mindfulness, order, gratitude, positivity, and discipline. So once again, pause this audio and then go back over what you wrote and look for any words that reflect your best self. Okay, so if you've got your free writing exercise complete and you've got your words circled, you're ready to move up the pyramid into intentions. Now, as I mentioned before, if virtues are who, intentions are how. So what we're doing with intentions is we're redirecting our attention to the specific behaviors that will most help us live in alignment with our virtues. I mean, it's not a virtue if you don't live it, right? So intentions are about putting your principles into practice. They're about how you embody your virtues in your everyday life. So here's an example. You might say, I want to be a great parent to my child, or I want to be a great spouse to my partner, or I want to be a great leader in my work. And that's a really good start, but that is only half of the equation. Saying, I want to be a great leader isn't enough unless you define how you're going to measure it, because that's the only way that you can evaluate your actions in each moment. So essentially what we're looking to do here is to give you a way to catch yourself when you're out of alignment with your values and a way to get yourself back into that home zone and back to making decisions that are in alignment with what matters most to you. And what I love about this process is that you have your own scorecard. So I don't rely on anyone else to tell me what's important in my life, and I don't seek my worth in things that are beyond the standards that I've created for myself. So that's the beauty of this process. And when you really get it, what you find is that your focus isn't on what you don't have anymore. It's on bringing your best to each moment every day. It's asking, what would the best me do right now? And taking action from that place. I'm just going to move up to the top of our big pyramid here, which is goals. And if you know anything about my work, you probably know that I have a very love-hate relationship with goals. I love them in the sense that I recognize that we need goals to be that vision to drive us forward. We need them to motivate us, and we need them to measure our success. But I also recognize that as human beings, we're also hardwired to be goal-driven. So there have been tons of studies on what actually makes a great career and what makes us feel happy and what makes us feel satisfied in our work. And typically, they all point back to three major buckets. We want to be appreciated. We want to have a purpose, which is to say that we want to contribute to something that's beyond ourselves, and we want to grow. And since goals are the medium of growth, it's obviously normal to want to get really specific about what it is that we hope to achieve and when. So I totally get that. Goals give us the picture of what could be. And if that picture is clear and compelling enough, then that picture is what will sustain us through the rough times until we get to the other side. Again, get it. But the process of continually living a goal-driven life is designed to ensure that we are never satisfied, and that is super unhealthy. It's unhealthy because if we don't get the goal, we feel like a loser, and if we do get the goal, then the bar just gets higher. And so, if we're not awake to how dangerous it is to measure our success on things and numbers, then we will allow our merit to rise and fall with those things and with those numbers. And so, the big lesson here when it comes to goals is to be fully invested in the effort and unattached to the result. Again, you do your absolute best in the moment and recognize that the results of that effort are external and therefore outside of your control. And there's a couple reasons why this makes sense. So for starters, it keeps you out of that angsty place where you're spinning your wheels over why you haven't achieved this or that by now. But second, and equally important, is that when you're so honed in on what success looks like as you've defined it, then what you're doing is subconsciously closing off any other possibilities, even if they might be better for you. So an example of that would be that if you're so convinced that your next move is your boss's job, then you might get so frustrated waiting in line for your turn that you don't even see that there's a door open in another department that would be an even better fit. This is why I think goals can be dangerous, because sometimes they get us so hung up on the form of what life should look like that sometimes we overlook the content. We create plans for ourselves because it feels like control when we say, right, I'm going to live in this city, I'm going to have this job, I'm going to be married by the time I'm 28, I'm going to have kids by the time I'm 31, I'm going to be promoted into this role by the time I'm 35. And there's something that feels really safe about that. Like we have our plans and we've got it all figured out, and it feels like we have this anchor in our chaotic world. But what we don't recognize is that that anchor isn't attached to anything. That anchor is an illusion. So as you plan your goals, and you absolutely should, just remember to hold them lightly. Again, fully dive into what you can control, which is only yourself. And trust that if you show up every day giving 100% in each moment, you can't help but move the needle a little bit each day closer to what it is that you want for yourself. It may not look exactly like you thought it would, or it might not show up exactly like you imagine, but it will be right for you. And best of all, you were able to enjoy the journey to getting it. And that's what I love about the VIG pyramid so much, because it's just the perfect visual representation of the idea that the bigger your dreams are in life, the bigger person you have to become to reach them. And regardless of how impressive your goals are, they are still about one third of who you need to be to reach them and who you need to be to sustain them. Thank you so much for listening to this Emerging Women Power Practice. I'm Emily Bennington, and I'll see you next time.